Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Wednesday. Hope you're all having a great day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I know you've been waiting with bated breath, sitting there on pins and needles, thinking, when are the details from Jaden Reed's contract going to drop? Well, today is your lucky day. I'm not going to belabor the minutiae here. I leave that to experts like Ken Ingles, who, if you're not following him and you are interested in contracts and the salary cap and things like that, I highly recommend you do so. I know he just recently started a YouTube channel as well, where you can really dive into all sorts of nitty gritty when it comes to the cap and contracts and things like that. Always interesting, though, when new contracts are signed and trumpeted and we hear, obviously, it's a three-year deal and there's $50 million guaranteed and all of this, or $20 million guaranteed or whatever it is. And it's always headline-driven, trying to make the agent look as good as possible, etc. But as we always talk about, it is best to wait and kind of see what the actual contract looks like. And it is fascinating, and it is somewhat what we expected when we saw the initial reports. Certainly, their first kind of pressure point is next year. He has a roster bonus, a pretty significant one that is guaranteed. That will be kind of the first kind of, like I said, pressure point in the decision-making process. Though, if he balls out this year, all is well. I don't see any problem. The big key here, though, the big, I thought, very interesting part of the deal that they ended up, you know, agreeing to with Reed, is how very clearly the Packers were guarding against Jaden Reed missing more extended time due to injury. We all know last year was a real bummer, no question about it, between the, you know, toe issue that he was dealing with in the summer, and then, of course, breaking his collarbone there and the shoulder injury he had in the Commanders game, missing, you know, causing him to miss as much time as he did. He has, after this deal, after this extension, by far, and I mean it's not close, the highest per game roster bonus of anybody on the team. I don't remember the Packers doing or constructing a contract this way. As far as, you know, if he misses games, he's not missing a couple $1,000s. He's missing millions of dollars for not being able to participate in any games the Green Bay Packers are playing during the regular season or in the postseason. So that to me is just, you know, a very interesting kind of wrinkle where, again, that's not something the Packers usually lean into this heavily. And I, you know, not sure what this means as far as maybe there is some kind of concern long-term injury-wise, what have you. Now this, you know, turns around as well for the player in certain aspects to protect him in case he is, you know, has to go and say he retires early and the Packers can't come after one kind of portion of his contract that's pretty much locked in. So he at least will get some guarantees in the worst case scenario. But it's just, like I said, it's just kind of caught my eye and very interesting. We always kind of joke about the Packers having maybe not a template, but there's certainly kind of things that you can set your watch by when it comes to how they operate. Usually, traditionally, they love to just have the signing bonus be the only guaranteed money that prorates over the length of the deal. But this time it's a little bit more of a few more wrinkles this time around. I'll put it that way. Again, if you want to dive deep into it, Ken's got you covered. Make sure you check out his YouTube channel, Ken Ingles on Twitter. He's got the real minutia deep dive, but just something that, again, interesting to note. It's pretty significantly different than how they usually operate when it comes to contracts. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see you all mixing it up in the comments section. Dennis is here saying hello to everyone as he does. Hope you're all saying hello to each other. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. At ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care, you have access to expert orthopedic care 7 days a week with no appointment needed. Whether it's a sprain, strain, fracture, or sports injury, their specialists assess and treat your pain quickly so you can return to what matters most. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, how we doing? How we living? How we learning? We got a couple of super chats here to start us off. We got Jerry. How you doing, man? Bad news, guys. Once again, I was not drafted into the NFL. I guess I'll have to stick to my day job. You and us all. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine if there was some kid out there who years ago started watching Cheesehead TV and became a member of the Green Bay Packers? Funnily enough, I did meet someone at the Super Bowl, a NFL player. I'm not going to say who it was because God knows he doesn't need this kind of shade. But I met him out with friends, and he literally did a double take and said, "Oh my God, I used to watch you on YouTube when I was first." He's a foreign player when I was first getting into the NFL. So that is a bit surreal, a bit crazy. But Jerry, I'm glad to see you're still with us. Mike Witt, how are you, buddy? Hey, Nags, don't know if you have checked out our UDFA guys, but really excited about Sturdivant from Florida and RJ Maryland, the tight end from SMU. Sturdivant reminds me of a faster Alan Lazard type player. Yeah, he certainly checks the Packers-y box, right? Clearly at the absolute type that they would love. I think Matt LaFleur is going to love him. I think he's physical. I think he's a willing blocker, which, as we all know, is definitely something that LaFleur looks for and wants on his team. As for Maryland, talked about him with Justice the other day. Make sure you checked out that conversation because Justice had some really interesting notes as far as how he looked in 2024 compared to the injury stuff he's dealing with in 25. And the Packers, well, obviously, hopefully, thinking maybe there's a chance that he reverts back to that 24 form. But yeah, make sure you check out that conversation. I'm with you. I think they both have chances, opportunities. Obviously, I think at the tight end position, you probably get a few more looks and a few more opportunities to play with some, you know, ones and twos maybe. But you know, we shall see how the summer plays out in that regard. FTAMT. Just please throw the ball to Golden. It's going to be fun to watch, right? Like, I saw someone at the start of the chat asking about what the pecking order at wide receiver is, and I don't know what to tell you other than Matt LaFleur doesn't believe in pecking orders. He wants them all to get opportunities. Though I do think because of the moves this offseason, they've certainly streamlined that depth part of the depth chart, right? And I don't doubt for a moment that Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, and Jaden Reed are going to be the main thrust in the passing game when it comes to wide receiver, right? Savion Williams will still get opportunities. There's still going to be opportunities there, even for, you know, Sky Moore and Bo Melton probably. But I would think the vast majority of these looks are going to contain some kind of combination of Watson, Reed, and Golden. And obviously, Reed is the slot guy. I believe, you know, Watson and Golden will play probably up and down the formation and be able to utilize them in lots of different ways and lots of different kind of spots when it comes to the formation, but they're going to be your main perimeter guys most likely, along with Savion. And I do think Savion Williams is kind of the forgotten man here a little bit, but I understand because of what we saw last year and the way he was simply almost exclusively utilized as, you know, a motion gadget end around type. Really didn't get to see him play a ton of traditional wide receiver, but I think we'll see a little bit more of that this year. And I think he will be able to crack the rotation with some regularity, but I got to imagine, given again, the moves they've made this offseason, it sure feels like they have purposefully streamlined it in the wide receiver room. So that trio is the focal point. Now, all of that said, still got to throw the ball to him. Hopefully he's getting open, running the right routes. That's where you got to see the improvement. What else we got here, folks? Jerry, what's up, man? Said I missed happy hour. I was eating Mexican food. It's okay. The replay is available to you on the YouTube channel and on the Patreon page. But we'll see you next week. Always good. Yes. What else we got? I was surprised Mr. Sturdy went undrafted, low key. What's funny is that after all the hand-wringing by some people, not most Packers fans, but I know there were a few that were miffed that the Packers traded away their seventh-round picks to go get the kicker, I'll bet one of those picks was probably going to be on Sturdivant. Like, they still got him. But, yeah, I was a tad surprised as well. Oh, Brett. When do we get Carry the G beer in Missouri or at Lambeau? Neither one feels imminent, but I'll tell you what, Lambeau's way more likely than Missouri anytime soon. I don't know if you caught the end of our conversation with Ed Policy, but, you know, planting seeds. We're planting seeds. Hopefully that bears some fruit down the line here. Again, though, I would not be holding our breath in any way, shape, or form. Mike, thanks again, buddy. Plus, I feel really old because I remember watching Maryland's dad when I was a kid for the Cowboys, LOL. I thought the 1,000,000,000% same thing when I saw the name. I was like, oh, no. Old man coming through. Jim says, I think Sav will be a good perimeter guy. I got to imagine he will, man. He absolutely checks the boxes that traditionally, I mean, going back to Ron Wolf's time in Green Bay, that they like at the wide receiver position. You know, it's one of the reasons he was a draft crush of mine last year. He certainly has every tool that you could ever want to be a successful NFL wide receiver. I know there were certainly inconsistencies in his game in college, but that's why you develop guys. And I got to think, yeah, a big body dude like that who can go up and high point the ball. You saw that in that Giants game. Maybe utilize him a little bit more in the red zone. But yes, I think he's going to get opportunities on the perimeter in particular in this offense. And I think hopefully he's going to deliver. FTAMT, what's up, man? Are we done with two tight end sets? Not sure how you go that way with three decent wide receivers, like you're saying. Oh, it's always a mix. You're never just throwing out three wide on every play or two tight ends on every play. You're always mixing it up. None of that is done. You're always going to see a lot of kind of mixing and matching. Some of it's going to be dependent on what guys do well and putting them in what they think are the best positions for each player. But part of it also is going to be driven by the opponent. What does the defense do well? How can you take advantage? Where are their weaknesses? Maybe they have really unathletic linebackers that you can take advantage of by getting them on the field, going heavy with tight ends, and then getting them out in passing routes. You know, it's always going to be a chess game. There's never going to be, oh, we're not doing that anymore, or this is done. You know, there may be less of an emphasis. Maybe there are fewer two tight end sets, although I got to think, especially with Tucker in the fold, I think with Tucker and Wiley, you could really cook. And then Musgrave is your kind of specialist, right? Your downfield threat, as it were. But yeah, man, nothing's going away. Nothing's done. Certainly there will be different emphasis depending on the opponent. Rick Harris, what's up, man? Can we get TJ Slayton back? We need a run stopper. I don't know. Has he been officially? I know there has been a lot of smoke around the potential for his release in Cincinnati, but I haven't seen that has occurred. Now, maybe it has, and I just missed it, which is entirely possible. But yeah, I think they like the group they got. Maybe they bring in one more vet, whether it's Slayton or somebody else. But as it is, you know, I think they're sitting pretty heavy at that group. Pardon the expression. But yeah, I wouldn't say they're completely done. If an opportunity is there, maybe they do. We'll see. I don't think that's something they're going to be banging the drum for, though. You know, if possibly they get into the offseason and they see some things that they don't like, or they think, oh, wait, maybe we do need a bigger body, then maybe they make that move. But I think we're a ways away from that. Tommy Guns, what's up, man? I think St. Juiced is a good sneaky pickup, in my opinion. Another guy that's kind of, I'm not going to say been forgotten about, but it is fun to watch all the excitement around Cisse, right? And then, you know, hear the discussions about how always going to come in and compete right away for a starting job. It's like St. Juiced is in that mix as well. And I know he had an inconsistent time when he was in Washington, but he is coming off a really good season with the Chargers. Now, I know he played a reserve role and a rotational role, but that doesn't mean he can't come in and ball out as the perimeter corner in Green Bay this year. Opposite Nixon or whoever. Like, I'm with you, man. I think he's got all the tools necessary, everything they like on the perimeter in a cornerback. And I'll tell you what, you know he's going to get on the field. You know he's going to make the roster because he's a special teams guy. He played a boatload of special teams for the Chargers at a very high level. I got to think that's going to continue in Green Bay and probably one of the reasons they, you know, decided to get after him early in the free agency. Joe, what's up, man? Isaiah Nayor is my dark horse at wide receiver. Showed some things in preseason 2025 and has the kind of size at 6'4", 218. I think the Packers still can use. Certainly going to be given opportunities, right? Because they do run so many multiple wide receiver sets, you need to be, you know, what, 7, 8, 9 deep, 10 deep at times. I mean, the last two summers, they've gone really heavy with wide receiver numbers. What, they get to like 18 or 19 the other year? But yeah, man, all he has to do is take advantage of every single opportunity. I mean, that's very easily said and a lot tougher to do, but yeah, in Green Bay, you know you're at least going to get opportunities, and they are going to be watching every single guy. You know, there are camps where, you know, guys are almost acknowledged to be just fodder, right? They're just camp bodies. Like in Green Bay, and this is through time now, through decades, really. I mean, Green Bay, Seattle, there are a few teams in the league where it is widely known as a undrafted guy or as a practice squad guy. I mean, ask Alan Lazard. That is legit what happened. He kept making plays down with the, you know, other squad, so to speak, on the other end of the field. And Aaron Rodgers was like, who is this kid? You know, he just kept making plays, finally got the call up, so to speak, to run with the ones. You know, they will certainly give guys opportunities and be looking for every bit of talent that they can maximize. Brandy, that's a very good question. How does the defense replicate or replace Quay's sideline to sideline? I imagine you mean ability. I mean, I think that's Edrin Cooper's music now. You know, that is one of the reasons that Zaire Franklin is here, is to man the mic, the middle linebacker spot, the traditional mic spot, and let, you know, Cooper just flow, get after it, flow sideline to sideline, see ball, get ball. Hopefully with some of those guys up front, especially on early downs, you know, clogging up the line, being able to keep him clean, which is something you hear quite a bit about, you know, the ability to let a linebacker flow, be able to use his instincts to get after the ball carrier, not having to worry about guards or centers getting up on him, you know. Now, again, that's work, and they have to be able to hold up front with the guys that they have, but no doubt this is the idea here this year, to let Cooper get after it, you know, just let him flow to the ball. I would suspect that you're going to see quite a bit of that. Shaim McCoy, thanks for the super chat. Love Reed, but Christian Watson had 700 yards in about 8 games played. Shows me he could have had 1,000 nags. Do you think 9 or 11 will most likely hit 1,000? Thought on Jacobs, bro. Oh, getting everything in there. Yeah, look, don't get it twisted. Watson's not a number one. Not in Green Bay. We wouldn't dare say anything akin to a number one wide receiver in Green Bay, because as we all know,
I get like, I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we got a bunch of them.
So I'll call him the premier receiver in Green Bay. How about that? I am just coining that right now off the top of my head. He is the premier receiver. He's not number one. He is the premier receiver in Green Bay. And yes, to your point and to your question, if he stays healthy, which is always going to be the question with Christian Watson, but yes, if he stays healthy, without a question, he goes over 1,000 yards. Mark it zero. Absolutely. And that doesn't diminish what Jaden Reed is going to do, because I do think he is still going to get his. Don't forget, he broke Sterling Sharpe's rookie reception record in this offense. He is going to get fed. But Watson will break 1,000 yards if he plays the entire season. Just mark that down. As for Jacobs, you know, I've talked about it a few times this offseason already. I expect a bounce back. I'm not going to say a big bounce back, because I don't think he really fell off outside of having to deal with the injuries he dealt with last year. I think he's still a dynamic player and the guy that this offense is probably going to flow through. A lot of what they're doing is still going to be Jacob-centric. And I think, man, it's no mystery. They just got to be better up front. You know, he is still a dynamic back, but can we get him, hell, even half a yard past the line of scrimmage before he's getting hit? He was hit at the line of scrimmage or behind way too much last season. I mean, way too much. And it was bad in 24. It got worse in 25 as far as room to operate. And that was after, you know, they signed Banks and they removed Elton. They were, we're gonna power through up front. We're going to create running lanes. And it only got worse. That has to be better. That trio inside has to be better, especially because they do like working between the tackles with Jacobs. That's one of his strengths, right? He's not a zone runner. He's the angle, the downhill stuff, trap, all that kind of power running stuff. That's where he shines. But they got to be able to do it up front. And last year, they sure as hell couldn't. Jerry, what's up, man? I helped recruit Naor at Wyoming. Well, there you go. Look at that. Small world. So you know the talent. You're all over it. Mike, thanks again. We need an hour-long transplants of Banky and Lieutenant Dan just to hear them bicker for 60 minutes. That would be some content. I tell you, it's great, too, because now I don't even need to work. Like, Lieutenant Dan just triggers Banky almost every single happy hour. It's great. We got new Banky bait almost each and every week. It's outstanding. E4, what's up? Is Gannon intimidated by the whole Packer aura? Someone should let him know we Packers fans don't bite. Like, look, don't get it twisted. If Gannon could talk, I'm sure he would if he was allowed to. I'm pretty sure the Packers just haven't made him available. Most likely that is a decision driven by Matt LaFleur. I'm also sure that it will occur here in the next couple weeks, is my guess. Menace, what's going on, man? I know it's a no, Nags, but is the smack pick the first? Oh, someone's getting help. Welcome to New York. I know it's a no, Nags, but is the smack pick the first time ever? Goody was like, oh my God, I have to shut these fans up. There is your kicker. 17 is basically toast. Happy? Now leave me alone. You are correct. It is a no, but I like to pretend it went down the way you just indicated, right? Okay, it's the end of the draft. We got 3 more picks. Trade those 2 seventh rounders. Let's get this best kicker available and get the fuck out of here. So look, I mean, it's still going to be a competition. You know, we joke about, you know, smack the shirts. He's going to be a hero. He's going to be a long-term kicker. He's still got to beat McManus, who was outstanding last summer. I know people have kind of memory holed it, but man, he made everything in camp last year. So let's say that happens again. And let's say the kicker, the rookie, let's say Smack is a little, just a tad inconsistent as a rookie, not totally wild to think about the possibility of. So then you get down to the end of camp, get the end of the preseason. And let's say, you know, McManus is near perfect and the kid has a little hiccup or two. What's your call? I do think, and I agree with Justice when he said in our chat, you know, it's Smack's job to lose. They traded up for him. You've got 4 years of control at a very reasonable number, whereas you've got McManus for 2 more years at $8 million. Like, just from a cost benefit analysis, it makes sense to go with the rookie, but he's got to make his fucking kicks, which, as we have seen in Green Bay, Wisconsin over the last couple of years, is no gimme. Is no sure thing. Very, I would say, excited, but I'm not, to get back to camp and tabulate kicking stats. Jerry, what's up, man? Do you use a Stream Deck in your setup? I have used Stream Deck, but I do not when I'm doing daily. I've actually used Stream Deck in a number of different kind of instances and for various projects, but I don't utilize it when I'm doing Packers daily. Mike Witt, thanks again, buddy. I'm just hoping the first time 25 gets burned or loads on a tackle, Gannon does a Mike Tyson on him. Seriously, though, I don't think the majority of Packers Nation will mind. No coach should ever hit their player. Come on now. That said, next time or the first time he does get burned, etc., you know, I'm sure there will be conversation. Probably very animated on the sideline. Oh, Shaim, what's up, man? I'm sorry, I meant your thoughts on Jacob's brother. He's got a shot. You know, he's coming in as a rookie tryout. The rookie minicamp starts on Friday. We get LaFleur right after practice. I believe practice starts at like around 11 a.m. Green Bay time. So you'll get your first pictures and the first video and content around the rookies and the tryout guys. He's got a shot, right? It's a position where they don't have a ton of depth. I think they got guys they like, obviously, but if he comes in, you know, turns a head or two, crazier stuff has happened. Now, that said, he's going to be going up against a few guys that, you know, Pierre Strong, etc., who have been in town and know the system and know the route. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing to just dislodge that. But, yeah, again, if he comes in, does the job, and turns a head or two, entirely possible that he sticks. But certainly not a sure thing, even because he's, you know, Jacob's brother, etc. He's gonna have to do the work and do something that kind of turns a head or two. And we'll see. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and subscribe to our newsletter. There's a link in the description of this video for you to do so. The Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter goes out once a week during the offseason, twice a week during the season, filled with tons of Packers content from Cheesehead TV. Make sure you subscribe. And then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.